Welcome again to our study of the Gospel of John. We're talking about the crucifixion of Christ and fulfilled prophecy, and thus far we've seen several prophecies which were fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. There's still another fulfillment of prophecy in the cross scene. It begins with John chapter 19, verse 34. It says, "One of the soldiers pierced his side with the spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth, that you may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, quote, not a bone of him shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced." The piercing reference is from Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. It reads, "And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they have pierced." This, of course, is future. This has never happened. The Jews have never had this kind of grace. They have never looked at Christ as the one they slew and they pierced and mourn about it. But here again is a literal fulfillment of prophecy, and that soldier had no idea what he was doing, but he was used by God to fulfill literally the scriptures. Now, we're puzzled about this. Why did the soldier take his spear and pierce the side of Jesus? Scholars tell us that this was the custom of the Roman soldiers to do that. But here there's a more specific purpose for him doing it. It was to fulfill scripture, even though he knew nothing about the scriptures. And someday in the future, when Jesus Christ returns, he is going to show off that pierced side, just as he did when he appeared to the disciples and he said, "Look at my side. Look at the wounds in my hands." He was pierced, and all Israel someday will see this, and they will mourn because they crucified the Messiah who was sent to bless them. Now, I point out that the connection to this Old Testament prophecy is John's interpretation, not ours. I think that he learned it and other prophecies from Christ himself, for in Luke chapter 24, we read that Jesus appeared to the 11 and others who were with them. This took place after the resurrection, of course, in the city of Jerusalem. And here is what he told them in Luke 24, beginning with verse 36. "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, 'Have you any food here?' So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.'" What a Bible study that must have been. You may enjoy hearing a Bible teacher bring out some of those Old Testament scriptures that were fulfilled literally, and if you do, that is fine. But Jesus, when he taught it, did it thoroughly and flawlessly. Oh, how I wish we had an accurate record of that study, because it was his interpretation. And that's what we want. he called attention to the law of Moses, to the prophets, and to the Psalms. All of them. I don't think he could do that in 1 minute, because there are too many prophecies to discuss. Now back in verse 34 of John 19, John tells us that he saw blood and water come out. It came out of the pierced side of Jesus when the soldier pierced the side with the spear. That makes us curious. What is the significance of the water? John doesn't tell us. But many people have a strong opinion about what the water means. John does, however, make a strong claim for having witnessed it. And in verse 35 he writes, "He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth, that you may believe." John seems to want to prove something by what he wrote. And in the historical context of the first century, we know that there were people known as Gnostics who denied that Jesus had a physical body. Those Gnostics believed that matter was evil. And of course, your body is matter. Only the spirit is good, they said. Therefore, Jesus must have been a spirit and could not have had a body. Otherwise, he would have been contaminated by evil. They said, Jesus only appeared to have a body. He was like a phantom. If he walked along a beach, he would leave no footprints in the sand because he was a spirit. This was a heresy which developed toward the end of the first century and became very prominent in the second century A.D. The epistle to the Colossians alludes to this heresy. In chapter 2, Paul was warning those Colossian Christians about this philosophy when he wrote in verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." Likewise, in John's first epistle, he opens on this same theme. He seems to be attacking the Gnostic heresy, for he wrote, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life." Notice, he said, we saw him, we looked, our hands have handled. John wants people to know that there was substance to Jesus, that he was not just a spirit or a phantom, he wasn't a vision, he was a person. Not only did he have a body while he was here on the earth, but after his crucifixion and resurrection, he also had a body that was substance. It was not any longer a natural body, it was a spiritual body, but that doesn't mean he was a spirit. For there are two kinds of bodies, as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There is a natural body, we're born with that, and there is a spiritual body. That's the resurrection body, and we all who believe in Jesus Christ will someday be raised and have a body like his, a glorified spiritual body. Well, we'll be getting more into that later when we talk about the resurrection body of Jesus Christ. Now we wonder if John, in his statement about seeing the blood and water come out of the side of Jesus, we wonder if he's trying to combat the wrong thinking toward the end of the first century about the body of Jesus. There is much in favor of a yes answer to that question, and if so, we have to believe that he was trying to keep Christians from falling for that false doctrine. It taught that Jesus didn't have a body. Well, if he didn't have a body, there couldn't have been water or blood coming out of the body, for spirits do not have blood or water, but a body does. So I personally think that John is trying to prove that Jesus did have a body for those people who were beginning to have doubts as a result of the false teaching. Now, if we choose to discount the Gnostic threat to the faith in understanding this passage, we might be tempted to accept an interpretation that focuses on the physiological meaning of blood and water in regard to the body. Some contend that Jesus died of a ruptured heart. They claim that this would have caused the blood and the water to exit the body. But the Bible doesn't say that the spear pierced the left side of his body. It says nothing about it, so we can't assume that that is what happened. Others contend that Jesus died of a broken heart, literally a broken heart, because he was so disappointed in everything that happened. Well, in the first place, Jesus wasn't disappointed in anything, for he had foretold his death on the cross. He knew everything that was going to happen, including the denial by Peter and the scattering of the disciples after his arrest. We learn from Scripture that he voluntarily laid down his life. It tells us that in John chapter 10, verse 18, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." This tells us that the shepherd knew what was going to happen. He offered his own life. He was a volunteer. He didn't have to be persuaded to die for anybody. And therefore, he could not have died out of disappointment according to that theory. And Jesus added something else in John chapter 10. He said, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Not even Pilate or the Roman soldiers were able to take Jesus' life. He was laying it down of his own accord. We have to believe that. And any theory about the blood and water that contradicts this, I guess I could say, doesn't hold much water at all. Now, the ruptured heart theory, then, contradicts the voluntary nature of Christ's death. People who give priority to sacraments, we call them sacramentalists, have still another interpretation. The water, they say, symbolizes baptism, and the blood symbolizes communion, or the Eucharist. None of the apostles, however, give us such a connection. Nor is there any evidence from the early church that the word water meant baptism to those people, or that the word blood signified Holy Communion. In tomorrow's program, we'll talk about a few more interpretations of this passage. We would like all of our listeners to have a copy of our Teaching Tapes brochure. This lists more than 25 cassette tape courses for your learning at home, along with descriptions of some of the more popular courses. It's free. Write and ask for Teaching Tapes. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.com.